Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Of course, keeping an eye on this massive hurricane that all of a sudden has slowed down in terms of the pace in which it's going to reach the Carolinas. But we, not being meteorologists, think that is a bad thing.
So we are going to get more into this here coming up just a little bit at about 10:30. But the storm is now moving 17 miles an hour. This is a Category 4 hurricane now, moving about 130-mile-an-hour winds that are with it. 1.7 million people have been told to evacuate parts of the Carolinas and Virginia. Initially, we thought it was going to hit on Thursday. It has slowed down to the point now that we suspect it'll be Friday morning. Physics is not my strong suit, but Weather 101 tells me the longer you have this thing the size of Michigan out over the Atlantic Ocean sitting there, the more time it has to be over the ocean, the slower it goes, the more water it can churn, and the more water it is going to dump. And so the governor of North Carolina was giving a news conference this morning. There aren't even enough words at this point to describe what could happen. So they're talking about three problems besides rain. Storm surge, so water coming in from the ocean, and also the winds that are going to go with this. We've already heard about some flights that have been told, flights that have been canceled. So if you have travel plans out that way, I would reevaluate those.
You do not have them anymore.
Whether you like it or not, I would reevaluate those. So we'll get into this a little bit more in the show. But it is, the pictures that are out right now are crazy.
President Trump broke it down yesterday.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet. Tremendous amounts of water.
That's it right there from the President of the United States. We will go to North Carolina and talk with our reporter Al Jones, who's going to join us coming up a little bit later on this hour. Also, from a weather aspect, I mean, Al's going to give us the perspective of what's it like on the coast, what's it like in the Carolinas. But what does this do? Because like you said, we don't really know all, we're not smart enough to know all that much about hurricanes.
What I know is that, I mean, from what we've heard, is that this would be the most damaging hurricane, the biggest hurricane to hit this part of the coast in, I mean, many, many decades. And I I'm a weather geek a little bit. You know, you grow up in Tornado Alley like I did, and you start to become really fascinated by stuff like this. Hurricanes are things we don't, you know, here we get tornadoes that come, they hit, and they leave. The fact that this could just sit for so long and drop so much water, and we were talking off the air this morning a little bit about just all the different effects this is going to have long term, you know, and we've got people from our area, from Kansas City, that are going to go to help. We've already got Governor Parson had activated a Missouri task force that already sent people that are going to stage in Raleigh, North Carolina, and wait to be reassigned from there. No doubt power crews will go. When you talk about the rebuilding, where do you get all those construction workers from? This is a really big tourist area. The Outer Banks and that area from Charleston on up is incredibly popular. And then you think about crops. This is harvest season for a lot of crops. So what happens to those crops then after this? So,
did you say it's the size of Michigan?
I'm pretty sure that's right. The size of Michigan,
so
to give you some perspective.
Michigan is 90. I had to look this up. Michigan is 96,000 square miles.
How wide? Yeah, like if you can look up width.
I could check that.
But yeah, think the size of Michigan, and that's how big the storm is.
In comparison, Missouri is 69,000. So it is bigger than the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
This hurricane is bigger than the size of Missouri.
Let me put it in a different perspective. It is bigger than the size of South and North Carolina, which it's going to sit over.
Oh my gosh.
So, and it's just, and you can even look at it, Wicket, there on CNN. You can see exactly where it's going to go. So, right, and it'll weaken a little bit as it comes on shore.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not going to pick up as much water, so it won't be moving as fast. But right now it's a Category 4, and they think tomorrow morning it'll have 145-mile-an-hour winds.
Could go Cat 5.
Could go Category 5, yeah. It's just fascinating when you talk about, like, they're reversing. They want everybody out. They want 1.7 million people out. So reversing traffic lanes away from the coast so that traffic has no choice but to go away from the coast.
And yet there are still idiots sitting there, I'm sure, in Charleston and in Myrtle Beach, sitting around, we're going to wait out the storm. No, this is not a normal storm. This isn't a thunderstorm that's rolling through. I didn't realize how big it was. It is bigger than the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And it's going to sit on top of the Carolinas.
There was a survey that was done of people in Florida, and 1.1 out of every 5 people in Florida said they would stay with a hurricane like this, that they would not evacuate.
I don't understand that.
Some people, I don't get it either.
I don't get it.
Because it's, to a certain degree, you know, people are, well, I want to protect my house. I want to be there, but.
What are you going to do?
This is a deadly storm. Mm-hmm. I mean, flooding is deadly. It's, in fact, it doesn't take a lot of flooding for that to be deadly. And so that's just stupid to me. But they're like, where are we going to go? We want to protect our house. We want to be here to see how things go. I mean, this is, if you recall, you know, the people that didn't evacuate out of New Orleans after Katrina. Mm-hmm. And then you cause more of a problem because police resources have to come rescue you.
Yeah.
Those resources that need to be going into other things have to rescue people that they told to evacuate.
Right. I mean, then you have to have people sitting on their roofs writing the word help me on top as 6 feet of water have forced you out of your home and on top of your home. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. Get out of there. Drive 2 hours west, you know, and stay at a Super 8 or find yourself an Airbnb. A lot of places are giving away free lodging right now.
Yeah.
I don't understand these idiots. We're going to wait the storm out. No, you moron. Get the hell out of there.
And to the people, somebody on the text line, this thing is overblown. The media is going nuts because they have absolutely nothing else to talk about.
Oh, God. We're blaming the media?
I got more to talk about in the next few days than time to do it.
What a moron.
But I'm looking at satellite pictures, and we're not making those up. I mean, this is a major one. Now, granted, if you want to get on weathercasters or whatever for blowing things out of proportion, if you want, fine, because it's not an exact science. But this is, it's again, it's moving
media
at 17 miles an hour.
Stupid media, their 140 mile an hour winds.
Just sitting there. But here's the problem with attitudes like that, is that, and it happens here with tornadoes sometimes too. You know, people become so used to it, or they're just used to hearing about it, and so they don't take it seriously when it's a big deal. And then you have people that die because of that attitude.
They're still not done cleaning up Hurricane Harvey in Houston, because that city is sitting low level and got crushed by Harvey a year ago. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the media.
Right.
3,000 people have died in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria rolled through. And despite what some people will tell you is a, quote, tremendous effort and one of the best ever.
Right.
No, it is not one of the best efforts ever. It was a very tough situation. 3,000 people are dead in Puerto Rico. That's not the media blowing it out of proportion. This is a deadly, deadly storm. If you know anyone in the Carolinas, and they're one of those people that's telling you, duh, we're going to sit and wait out the storm. Tell them to get in their car and drive west. This is like the FEMA just said, this is the last good day to evacuate.
Yeah.
It's the last clean day. Last clean day to evacuate.
I mean, if we're going to talk, if you want to get into it, we can talk about the 9.8 million. we can talk about it.
No.
It's, you know, if we're going to go there, we can go there. There is a document that's been released showing $9.8 million went from FEMA to immigration enforcement. We can talk about that.
Do you really want to get into that?
I think it's, I don't even have a good adjective for it. I'll come up with a better one.
Interesting.
At a time where, you know, the biggest hurricane to hit this part of the Carolina coast in 60 years is about to hit, when FEMA's going to need resources, that seems like money that they need.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll tell you coming up next. FEMA's missing about $10 million, and we'll tell you who's got it coming up.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
This storm threatens life. The forecast shows a storm surge higher than many homes.
That is the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper. Glad to have you talking about Hurricane Florence. We're going to go to Carolina coming up, North Carolina coming up in just a bit here, and check in with reporter Al Jones. That's coming your way at 10:35.
Look at FEMA's quote. This will be a Mike Tyson punch to the Carolina coast.
I actually think I have that. Let me see if this is it right here.
This is going to be, you know, a Mike Tyson punch to the Carolina coast.
That's a lot.
We'll see.
That's a lot right there. That's Jeff Byard.
So
from FEMA.
Yeah, they're just, we need more adjectives to describe a storm this size. And I understand.
It's bigger than Missouri.
Some of you are upset. That's not unusual. But I understand that some of you are mad because you have said things like, well, people can't afford to leave. Like, there are actual reasons why people don't go. I just think you are taking your life in your hands with that. And if you live in an area like the Carolina coast or the Florida coast or the Alabama coast that is prone to getting hurricanes, then I feel like, you need to have a plan for what you're going to do when these things hit so that, you know, if money is an issue, then you need to know where you're going to go. Just like here, you know, in the event of a tornado, we prepare in certain ways also. So I get that some people can't afford to leave, but you really, I don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be a way to figure that out.
You get out. You knew this was coming.
And as somebody pointed out on the text line, people in Puerto Rico were begging to be evacuated, and we have people in the Carolina coast that won't leave.
That's a great line.
So
that's a really, really good line.
I told them we're stealing that one.
And you're going to see, and I'm sure we'll tell you about them when they start to pop up. You could, of course, start donating to the Red Cross at any time and the relief funds and whatnot. We're going to see those text whatever to whatever to help out the victims of Hurricane Florence. Because come Monday and Tuesday, when this thing starts to wind down and travel up the coast and be gone, and they start to be able to begin the rebuilding process, because buildings will come down.
Right.
Houses will come down. There's no doubt that there will be mass destruction in the Carolinas. A lot of people love going to Myrtle Beach. It may not be there for a while. And that's in reality. I'm not trying to be funny. Myrtle Beach is going to be destroyed. If this thing has its way, like they're forecasting right now. And FEMA's going to need some money.
And they just lost a chunk. So out of CNN, Senator Jeff Merkley released a document on Tuesday showing a transfer of nearly $10 million from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and accused President Trump's administration of diverting money from hurricane relief just as hurricane season was starting. The document from the Department of Homeland Security specifically mentions the money would come from the agency's budgets for travel, training, public engagement, and information technology work. The department denies that the money came from disaster relief funding. Merkley is a Democrat out of Oregon. He said on Rachel Maddow's show at MSNBC that the administration is taking money from response and recovery and working hard to find funds for additional detention camps. He said, I would dispute the statement that this has no bearing on addressing the challenges from hurricanes. So CNN got a copy of the document from Merkley's office. It details the effects the transfer would have on FEMA's operations and from where in the budget the money would come. The document reads, FEMA will curtail training, travel, public engagement sessions, IT security support, and infrastructure maintenance, and IT investments in the legacy grant system for transition to the Grants Management Modernization Program.
Got all that?
Right. So it's not, they're saying it's not going to come directly from the accounts at FEMA that go to help providing, you know, help on the front lines. I would just also argue that if you're taking money out of IT, we need computers at FEMA to work. So
in fairness to the opposition of this, it's about 1% of the budget. It's about 1% of FEMA's budget that is being transferred to ICE. FEMA's original budget was $1.03 billion. Now it's, you know, they're losing about $9.8 million out of that $1 billion. Is it the end of the world? No, but the timing on it stinks because this was done as hurricane season was starting. This was done last month, and most people, especially people at FEMA, know that hurricane season in America usually happens at the end of August, September through November. That's about what our hurricane, that's where the Gulf really starts churning. And is it a ton of money? No, but when I'm looking at the destruction that's coming to the Carolinas, and while this is about training and travel and public engagement sessions, all of that goes into helping FEMA and getting FEMA do its job. Exactly. So you're taking away, well, a minimal amount of FEMA's financial resources, and you're not taking away water or wood. You are still scratching away at an organization that we need right now.
Right.
Right now.
And so I don't I would ask the question, why does ICE need the money? But if it needs the money, are there other places you can take it from that don't need it immediately like they do? So CNN said, this is out of the document, insufficient funding would require ICE to release any new bookends and illegal border violators and prevent ICE from deporting those who have violated immigration laws. FEMA and nine other agencies under the Department of Homeland Security had approximately 1% taken from their budgets to be put toward ICE's detention facilities.
I have a question, and I know you don't know the answer to this. Did 1% of the new military budget get taken away from? And I know you don't have that information in front of you.
Oh, but we could find that.
Because that, to me, is where we have a whole lot. And I love our military, and I want our military to be strong. And I'm not a big fan of having illegal immigrants here, especially the law-breaking illegal immigrants. And I understand the reason for border security. But it seems like this is a bad FEMA, of all places, is a bad place to pull. Now, that brings up the question, what's the priority of this administration? What is the priority? Helping out the Carolinas and whatever hurricane is coming behind Florence, because we know this won't be the last one, or deporting illegal immigrants. Both are worthy causes in many people's eyes.
Some would tell you that there is a great danger from the illegals that are here.
I'd say there's a great danger from the hurricane.
I would ask if we're freeing up $1 million in FEMA's budget from training and travel and that kind of thing.
$10 million.
Aren't they going to need that somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't it possible FEMA was going to need to divert 1% of their budget into trailers and power crews and
water,
emergency assistance and housing vouchers and food and all of that? Mm-hmm. I mean, if that money was kind of extra sitting in their budget, my guess is they're going to need it on this stuff.
Just the timing of it is ridiculous. That's what really bothers me. Like, you are coming up on hurricane season, and you decide you're going to take away from the hurricane relief fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this comes out of the travel, public engagement sessions, IT security support, training, all that kind of stuff. You're not ripping away houses that are going to be rebuilding in Carolina. But that being said, you're scratching away from FEMA's overall body of work.
Yes. Yes. So, I'm waiting for someone to say, well, you know, they needed it for the kids' detention centers because they're detaining all those kids still. And
that's,
I guess,
true.
That's true. Take it from somewhere else. Take it from somewhere else that's not going to need it right away.
Yeah, and again, our military budget is a bajillion dollars. What if you took 1% of that?
But then we'll be less safe.
No, that is not true.
From terror.
That is not true. What if you raise taxes on the super rich by 1%?
They need that money.
I know.
No.
They need that money to buy more stock and pay their own behinds. Yeah. I understand that. I get it.
Can't
I know.
Do that. Can't.
If you raise if you tax the super rich by...
What else you got?
I don't know. Just ideas that work.
Where else you want to take it from?
Gosh. I'd love to know the other groups they're taking it from, along with FEMA.
Yeah, I looked for a couple more
stories. It's probably the EPA. They're probably ripping it out of keeping your water clean, ripping it out of keeping your air clean, ripping it out of keeping forests
But at least...
green.
No. But at least taking it out of the EPA, I mean, if we're talking about... priorities are difficult, but fund the pressing ones first. Like, don't take out of the wildfire mitigation fund, because we've got a ton of wildfires right now.
We're doing
that. So leave that account alone,
and
you know?
We got hurricanes coming.
Yeah.
I just, again, I get the need for border security, but don't take it out of FEMA.
Into the text line, I lean right, but I'm betting Florence will cause more damage and kill more people than all of the illegals combined this year.
Oh, that is a brilliant text. Thank you very much. Weigh it. How many people will Florence kill in the next 4 days versus how many people will, a couple of illegal immigrants that they can't keep in-house kill in the next 4 days? Just throwing that out there. It's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, text line. I often say that because I love the text line so much. Thank you. That is a brilliant, yet another brilliant text out of the text line. All right, we're going to go to North Carolina. Al Jones from WINS Radio is going to join us in North Carolina. He'll be live with us as we will get what conditions are like, what the governor had to say, and what to expect in the next 48 hours as Hurricane Florence continues to approach the coast.
North Carolina is about to face the power of Hurricane Florence. The time to prepare is almost over.
It's North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, JB Bonicelli, Mike Wickett with you. And let's go live out now to North Carolina, joining us from our sister station, WINS Radio. We made the trip down to Carolina. We welcome in our friend Al Jones. Al, really appreciate the time. This thing has kind of stalled. Has that bought people on the coast a little more time?
Well, I think what it does is it does give them a little more time to maybe put a little more plywood up, get things off the ground. Hopefully, it gets people moving, too. You mentioned the governor on earlier. I could hear his voice. He was telling people that today's the day. He doesn't want people waiting until Thursday or Thursday night. And they're very conscious here about telling folks when the bridge at the Wrightsville Beach will close. It's a barrier island, so there's a bridge going out to it. They're saying it's going to close sometime Thursday, but they don't want folks to wait to the last minute. So they're trying to get people moving. And here is, we're on I-40 heading towards Wilmington. All I see is, mostly cars coming the other way. So you get the feeling you're going the wrong way.
Can you put this in perspective for us? What exactly are they expecting out of the storm? Because some people are wondering, wow, is it really going to be that bad?
Well, all we can go by is what the models all show. And what they show is something that has never hit North Carolina. You know, Category 4, maybe a 3. You're going to have winds around 130 miles an hour. The storm surge is what folks talk about because this coastal area is very low-lying. There's almost no high ground. So if you're talking a storm surge of 10, 12 feet, that's going to go right over the barrier islands and come right up on the shore. And then on top of that, we're throwing in, 10, 12, 20 inches of rain. So any tree that's in the ground that survived the wind is probably going to go over in the saturation. And folks are already planning for at least a week without electricity. They tell me that, they lose electricity regularly, and they're pretty much hunkered down for a week. Those are the folks that are staying. Hopefully most of them are getting out.
Talked with Al Jones. He is live in North Carolina with us here on 98.1 KMBZ. It sounds to me, just from what you're saying and some of the things we're seeing on the TV, this doesn't sound like it's an area built for this. I mean, Houston wasn't really built for this either a year ago when Harvey landed on it, and it sounds like the Wilmington area is the same, if not worse.
Right. In Wilmington, just over the border in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, this whole area, maybe in the last 30 years, has just boomed with people. I mean, you have retirees, you have folks with second homes, a very popular place to retire to. And so you have a much larger population here to deal with. And maybe it wasn't the best idea to build all these things right on the coast, all these homes and condos and apartment complexes. And right now they just want people to evacuate and take it seriously. And I think what I've found so far is maybe the old-timers say they can weather it, but if you're from somewhere else in the country, those are the folks that are getting in the car right now and just getting out. They don't want to see anything, any part of Florence.
Do you know where they're evacuating to? How far away are they having to go?
Yeah, yesterday there were three signs downtown Wilmington telling folks about shelters for the residents of Wilmington. The shelters, though, were in Raleigh. Now, they were going to bus folks up, or they're encouraging you to drive there. But Raleigh is an hour and a half off the coast. It's a two-hour drive from Wilmington. That gives you an idea of how far they think people need to push back. And still, Raleigh is also in the path of whatever's left of Florence and could see torrential rains. So maybe that's not far enough, but I've talked to folks who are going to live with relatives in Atlanta, in Charlotte, and that's how far they want to get away from the coast.
Al, are there people that can't get out, that have no way, no ability? I mean, is that a large percentage of this population that they don't have the opportunity, the ways to get out of that area?
Yeah, I think what you have is you have two groups of people. You have the people who can't get out, they either don't have the money, don't have somebody to go stay with, can't afford a week's hotel. They're kind of stuck. You really feel for those folks. And then you have the ones that are going to stay there no matter what. And maybe they have a small business downtown Wilmington. They don't want to leave it. They've lived there all their lives. They can't imagine that the storm's going to be that bad, and they're the ones that are sticking. So you have those two groups of people that are here. And then on top of it, of course, the emergency responders. Remember, they all have families. They all have homes. So they have that twin responsibility to their duty, to the job, to the folks here, and they also got to worry about their own.
As far as travel and that kind of thing for people that don't live there, but you know, might have travel plans that way, I know a bunch of flights have already been canceled.
Right, and they were talking about even Raleigh's airport closing this weekend. So, you know, that's once again, an hour and a half away. I think, you know, when we flew in yesterday, I flew in from Newark, and there were 20 people on the plane. And the flight attendant said, hey, sit where you want, because this is all that's going to Raleigh. And when we got to Raleigh, the airport's packed. It was the flight in that was empty because everybody's getting out.
One last thing for you before we let you go here, Al. In terms of those that can't get out or that have to leave or whatever, are companies maybe an hour away? Have you heard of free lodging, free anything? Are people pitching in for these residents?
Well, I think shelters is probably the best bet. You know, the gymnasiums at the local high school and, you know, civic auditoriums, that kind of place, that's the best bet for a shelter. As far as, you know, gas stations and hotels, you know, everything down here, the gas stations have long lines, the hotels are booked. I'm not sure why you'd want a hotel room in Wilmington. that's not going to be any better than your house, but there are people that did that. And then you just have a lot of folks that are leaving. And as I mentioned, here we are going in. There's no traffic, but coming up, bumper to bumper.
Hey, Al, appreciate the time. We'll check it again. Please be safe.
All right. Thank you.
Al Jones, WINS, radio out of New York City, flew into Wilmington, our sister station. He's down there covering it, and he is chasing Florence. And we'll check in again with him as this thing gets closer and closer.
Supposed to make landfall Friday now. They're saying, if you're not familiar with some of that geography, you know, the Outer Banks lie off the coast of North Carolina, and there are only so many bridges that would get you out there. And they're looking at those bridges maybe having to be closed as early as tomorrow. That's why they're saying today is the day that everybody has to get out. But again, 1.7 million people under evacuation orders. Somebody just texted in and said, my parents live 20 minutes up the coast from Wilmington. They're driving 6 hours to Asheville, North Carolina.
Yikes.
So yeah, it's just a massive storm.
Julie's been hanging on, and we appreciate that. Julie, thanks for calling. You're on KMBZ.
Oh, no problem at all. I have an interesting spin on things. The World Equestrian Games are starting today in Tryon, and I know there are a lot of horse people from the Kansas City area who left for North Carolina today.
Really? The world's most prestigious equestrian event just started near where this thing is going to land, huh?
Yep, that's the case. So they're talking about postponing the events or... The horse park itself does have some shelter areas, but horse people generally are crazy, so they're all still headed that way. It's absolutely insane, but we're going to have to find shelter for the horses as well that have come from all over the globe.
I did not know that. Thank you for the update, Julie. How about that? What other radio station has callers that are going to tell you about the World Tryon, the FEI World Equestrian Games?
Yes.
Only this one. Thank you for that, Julie. Coming up, we're going to get a weather perspective on this. Meteorologist Steve Hamilton is going to join us coming up at 11:05 because we want to know what it means for this thing to stall, how much water we're talking about it, could it change paths, all that kind of stuff. Steve Hamilton is coming up at 11:05. So I went to go see Maroon 5 yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I have a question about fans and okay. you people, and especially women. All right, I'll ask that question for you coming up next. You're on 98.1 KMBZ. This was one of the songs we didn't stay for last night at Maroon 5 at Sprint Center. This was apparently, looking back at all the lists of all the set lists and whatnot, this was the last song they played of their encore. And I have a pregnant wife, and she doesn't make it all the way through concerts anymore, other than Taylor Swift at Arrowhead on Saturday. We leave a little bit early most nights, which I understand that, and I'm cool with it.
I'm not pregnant, and I would be leaving that show early on a weeknight.
How come? Just because of the hours?
Yeah, because there's only so much concert to sit through because I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That
and 10
understand.
O'clock does not go over well on a weeknight.
That concert was, I didn't know if I was going to know everything. I was like, it'll be Maroon 5. It'll be, you know, they're huge. They're sold out. Sprint Center was completely packed last night, totally sold out. I knew every single song, and we stayed for about an hour and a little change after that. You know, I don't think you realize that you know every single Maroon 5 song. And it was like Train. Like, I went to go see Train and Hall & Oates a couple of months back. And with Train, there were like songs that that they would play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's Train that does that song. I had no idea. You know every single Maroon 5 song, from What Lovers Do to Payphone, This Love, Misery, Sunday Morning, Animals. And that was a really cool concert. The stage was, you know, they had the stage across at one end, and then it went out to a triangle. And Adam Levine, who you may even know from The Voice more than you know from being in a band, he's a star. I mean, he is obviously the star. And I think The Voice has probably pushed him. He's bigger than his band.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really neat show to see. And he would go out with the microphone. And, I mean, he eventually got down to just a tank top, and the ladies were going crazy. And that's my question. And I was watching, because there were people in the middle of the triangle in, like, the pit area, the standing room only. And then there were the rest of us that were in seats. And I don't know, you don't strike me at all as this kind of woman, Jamie, but the women were going, and I get it, Adam Levine is attractive. I'm very aware of that. But the women were going crazy for this man. Sweating, unable to stand at some point. Does that happen for people still? Do people still go that bananas when they see a celebrity, or in this case, a rock star?
I don't. I can't answer for the general population because I don't. I haven't done that. I didn't do that at New Kids on the Block when I was a kid. I remember being at that concert, you know, for a lot of us our age, that was our first big concert. And I remember the girls that used to cry. I remember going to the first concert, the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, and the girls that were just, they'd be passing out and having to be carried away in ambulances, and they would cry and they would scream. And I remember thinking, what are you screaming about? What? They can't hear you. What are you screaming about? So I don't understand that mentality in general, but you tell me it happened, so I believe you.
It was nuts yesterday. And 576-7798, if you, especially ladies, because I don't think guys do this. I don't think guys at concerts. And look, I'm a big fan of Taylor Swift. I've seen her. I've been close to her. I've hugged her. I didn't cry. I didn't like, I don't think guys really do that. I think this is more of a female thing. But who have you gone bonkers, or who is your wife or your girlfriend or your sister or your friend or whatever? Maybe it's a guy. Who knows? That just, they couldn't handle being in the same room. 576-7798 or text in 22980. Travis, you were going to go to the show last night. You chose not to. Your wife or your fiance got sick. But have you ever gone that bonkers at a show before?
I'm trying to think. No.
Simple answer. No. Would Mel ever do that?
Probably for like a big country star that she likes. She's a big country girl.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure on country names, so I couldn't really tell you. So maybe a country like
Keith Urban maybe would get.
Yeah. Maybe somebody big that's in country that she would probably scream for. But no, it's kind of funny you asked this, because we talked about this at the Taylor Swift concert. She goes, I'm not that really into like screaming for someone. I said, well, Taylor Swift is not your person. So if this was a country person, she goes, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Like if it was Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, maybe Garth Brooks. I don't know. But there are probably a ton of, you know, there are acts throughout history that women have gone nuts for. And I don't know if it's only a women thing, but I'm just going to guess that it is.
I mean, I think men react to concerts in their own way. Maybe they don't scream, but men are big fans also of bands. I'm thinking of Scott Parks. You know, I'm thinking of a lot of men really, really support certain bands. They just don't happen to scream. They just do other things.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to wear a shirt. Well, a lot of women wouldn't wear the shirt of the band. In fact, you got some grief for doing that,
wanting to do that. I was told not to.
So, I mean, just because men don't scream doesn't mean they don't also do their thing when it comes to supporting who they like.
But there's a complete difference between wearing a shirt and nearly fainting.
But it doesn't
start
make one
sweating
better or worse. Just because women scream and you're a guy doesn't mean guys don't have their own ways of supporting bands that women might think are annoying. You know, like perhaps building a room dedicated to a certain band or something like that. So
let's go to Dave on KMBZ. What's up, Dave?
What's up? I took my son to go see him and his friend, maybe 2000. Little Bow Wow came to the Midland Theater.
What?
little Bow Wow.
Okay.
And they screamed, I mean, the crowd screamed 80% of the time. We were just looking at each other. You couldn't even hear anything. It was so full of screaming. It's like, that was horrible when they just scream constantly. Can't even hear the music.
That was that kind of, it was kind of that way. Travis, you were at Taylor Swift. I'll ask you. I mean, granted, it was 80,000 people, open air stadium, and a lot louder. Was it like that for you, where you were sitting kind of like what Dave was saying at a little Bow Wow concert?
Yes, because like when I mentioned going to Taylor Swift concert, I was sitting next to, there was five little girls in front of me, probably the ages of 10 to like 14. Mm-hmm. And then behind me, I had another set of 4 to 5 girls who were from about 8 to 13. Nothing but screaming. When I could listen to Taylor is when I, you know, she's changing songs. So whenever the speakers was louder than the screaming is when I was able to hear the music.
That's when you knew she wasn't on stage.
Right.
Because she wasn't actually up there singing and dancing.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said, I'm a guy, more sports for me. I almost passed out when Bo Jackson, my boyhood idol, asked if he could sit next to me at Arthur Bryant's.
Okay.
Like, you have the people you're fans of. Maybe it's more sports or just people you followed for a long time that if you encountered somewhere, you would have a similar starstruck reaction. It's just not screaming. It's just other stuff.
Have a spell. I don't know if there's anybody that could walk in and I would be unable to continue. You know, I don't know if there is anybody out there like that.
I haven't been starstruck at all, and I've met some of my sports idols before.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was able to talk to them as a, in my way of saying it, as a person
as
and
a
not
human.
As a fan.
Yeah.
But didn't your voice crack upon meeting Taylor Swift once?
It cracked one time.
I mean, don't act like you don't fangirl over stuff.
I don't think you quite understand the difference here between screaming.
I do understand the difference
between screaming and nearly fainting and having my voice crack.
I do understand the difference. Actually, I'm just saying that people have their own reactions to fans to people they like.
Let's see. Somebody on the text line. Robert Redford pulled up next to my girlfriend when he was filming The Natural in Buffalo. She went crazy, started hitting me when I wouldn't follow him. I wouldn't want to follow him either. I'd be like, no, you're good. You're all good. The Beatles, that one was probably huge way back when I've seen the video on the Ed Sullivan Show of the girls going crazy when the Beatles came over. That to me is nuts.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's not there. I can't think of anybody. Maybe in this business, we're a little more exposed to celebrities than in other businesses. But I wasn't that way as a kid. I just couldn't imagine being that person that loses their minds like that.
Let me know on Facebook, because it's up there. Girls were going nuts last night at Sprint Center for Adam Levine. Like when we went back to take a picture with the band, the band walked in, everybody had their pictures, and then the band walked out, and one of the girls yelled out, "We love you, Adam!" And the rest of us kind of looked at each other, and we said to each other, "And the rest of the band."
Here's what somebody just said. First time I saw Bon Jovi at Sprint Center, everyone was screaming. John Bon Jovi owned the room. Ladies wanted him. Guys wanted to be him.
I believe that. It's 10:58. Coming up, we will be joined by meteorologist Steve Hamilton. Just what is inside of Hurricane Florence and what could it mean water-wise for the Carolinas?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.